Hey guys, what is up? It is Wednesday, and I am here to read more fairy tales to you. It's actually Wednesday as I am recording this, which, like, never happens. So, yeah. I don't know if that says, like, I'm on top of things or I'm behind, but I am going to read some more fairy tales to you today. I'm very excited. The lawn people are done, I think. Fingers crossed. So let's get a couple of these stories into your ear holes because I'm very fucking excited this morning. Okay. All right. The first one, continuing on, this is story number 11 now. So we're really working our way down. Now, if you've listened to all of these, if people go, you know, oh, do you like fairy tales? Because that's a common conversation I have with friends personally. By friends, I mean myself. You can say yes. Be like, yeah, I've heard at least 11 now. So keep listening. We're going to become experts at these. Oh, shit. We're going to become experts. So this is number 11, Little Brother and Little Sister. A little brother took his little sister by the hand and said, "Ever since our mother died, we've not had one moment of happiness. Our stepmother beats us every day, and when we come near her, she kicks us away with her foot. We get nothing but hard crusts of bread, just leftovers for food, and the dog under the table is better off. At least he gets a good chunk of meat to eat every now and then. Lord, have mercy on us! If our mother only knew! Come, let's go off together into the wide world." Stranger danger. So they went away and came to a large forest, where they were so sad and so tired that they crept into a hollow tree and just wanted to die from hunger. Then they both fell asleep. When they woke the next morning, the sun was already high in the sky and warmed the hollow tree with its rays. "Little sister," said the little brother after a while, "I'm thirsty. If only I knew where to find a spring, I'd go and have a drink right away. Listen, I think I hear one trickling."
"What good will that do?"
the little sister answered.
"Why do you want a drink when we just want to die from hunger?"
The little brother kept quiet and climbed out of the hollow tree, and since he always held his sister's hand tightly, she had to climb out with him. Now, their evil stepmother was a witch, and when she had noticed that the two children had left, she followed them and caused a clear little stream near the tree to trickle from some rocks and form a spring. Why is she starving them? You know, I'm not even going to try. These fairy tales make no sense. The trickling spring was intended to lure the children and make their mouths water. But whoever drank from the spring would be changed into a little fawn. Why couldn't she have done that at home? Why did she have to do this? You know what? I'm not fairy tale logic. Fairy tale logic. The little brother soon came to the spring with his sister. And when he saw the glittering water trickle over the stones into the spring, his thirst became even greater, and he wanted to drink some of the water. However, the little sister was fearful. She thought she heard the spring speak to her as it trickled. "Whoever drinks me will be changed into a fawn." What a horrible spell the water tells you. "Whoever drinks me will be changed into a fawn." So she begged her little brother not to drink the water. "I don't hear anything," said the little brother. "I just hear how lovely the water is trickling. Let me go." Upon saying that, he lay down on the ground, leaned over and drank, and as soon as he felt the first drop of water on his lips, he was changed into a little fawn sitting beside the spring. The little sister wept and wept.
"Stupid."
However, the witch was angry that she hadn't been able to lure the little sister to drink the water as well. Next time, do a spell that doesn't fucking warn the victim what it's gonna do. Jesus. After the little girl wept for 3 days, she should be dehydrated now. She didn't drink water for 3 fucking days. But you know what? I keep saying I'm not gonna be bothered by this logic. She stood up gathered some bulrushes, and wove them into a soft rope. Then she attached it to the little fawn and led him with her. She looked for a cave, and when she found one, she carried moss and foliage inside and made a soft bed for him. The next morning she went out with the fawn to a place with tender grass, and there she gathered the most beautiful grass, which he ate out of her hand. The fawn was delighted and romped about on the hills. In the evening, when the little sister was tired, she laid her head on the back of the fawn. It was her pillow, and this is how she fell asleep. If only her brother could have retained his human form, it would have been a wonderful life. Starving, being led on a leash, living in a cave, hiding from a witch. What a wonderful life. For many years, they lived like this in the forest. Nope. No, I'm not going to address this. Then one day, the king went out on a hunt, and when he became lost, he stumbled upon the maiden with the little animal in the forest and was amazed by her beauty. Kings go out a lot, and they find little girls who are lost to marry. Let's just say marry. This seems to be a common theme in these stories. So if you want to become future queen, you just have to live in the woods, is what I'm hearing. It's quality. I mean, several years in a cave, but it sounds extremely alluring. He lifted her up. I'm sorry. He saw the woman with the animal. He lifted her up onto his horse and took her with him, while the fawn, attached by a rope, ran alongside. At the royal court, the maiden was treated with honor. Beautiful young women had to serve her, but she herself was more beautiful than any of the other ladies. She never let the fawn out of her sight, and she tended him with care. Shortly after her arrival, the queen mother died, and the king wed the sister, and they lived together in great joy. I'm starting to feel like the queen dying was not a coincidence. But whatever, his wife died, and he was like, oh no, better go marry this girl I found in the cave. However, this stepmother had heard about the good fortune of the poor little sister. She had thought that the maiden had long since been torn to pieces by wild beasts, but they had never done anything to her. Indeed, the maiden was now the queen of the realm. The witch was so angry about this that she could only think of some way she might ruin the queen's happiness. When the queen gave birth to a handsome prince the next year and the king was out hunting, the witch appeared in the form of a chambermaid and entered the room where the queen was recovering from the birth. "The bath has been prepared for you." I don't know why she's English now. She said, "It will do you good and strengthen you. Come, before the water becomes too cold." The witch led the queen into the bathroom and locked the door behind her. Inside there was a brutally hot fire, and the beautiful queen was suffocated to death. That is a really bleak ending. Now the witch had a daughter of her own, and she endowed her with the outward shape of the queen and laid her in the bed in place of the queen. In the evening when the king returned home, he didn't realize that he had a false wife. But in the night, and the nurse saw this, the real queen appeared in the room. She went up to the cradle, lifted the child to her breast, and suckled him. Ghost milk? You think a kid was drinking ectoplasm? Because I do. Then she plumped up his tiny mattress, laid the baby in the cradle again, and covered him. After this, she went into the corner where the fawn slept and stroked his back. This was how she came and went every night without saying a word. One time, however, she entered again and said, "How's my child? How's my fawn? Twice more I'll come, then I'll be gone." Then she did what she had usually done the other nights. Meanwhile, the nurse woke the king and told him secretly what had occurred. So the next night the king kept watch, and he too saw how the queen came, and he clearly heard her words. "How's my child? How's my fawn? Once more I'll come, then I'll be gone." However, he didn't dare speak to her. The following night he kept watch again, and the queen said, "How's my child? How's my fawn? There's no more time. Soon I'll be gone. The king could no longer restrain himself. He sprang forth and embraced her, and as soon as he touched her, she was restored to life, rosy red and well. The false queen was led into the forest where the wild beasts devoured her. The evil stepmother was burned at the stake, and as a fire consumed her, the fawn was transformed, and brother and sister were once again together and lived happily until the end of their days. The end. That was interesting. That was interesting. I'm going to do one more today because that was kind of long, and the next one is a classic, and this is Rapunzel. And it's actually, I think it's shorter than the last one, which is strange, but... Okay, so we're going to read number 12, which is Rapunzel, as I already said. Once upon a time, there lived a husband and wife who had been wishing for a child many years, but it had all been in vain. Finally, the woman became pregnant. Now, in the back of their house, the couple had a small window that overlooked a fairy's garden filled with all kinds of flowers and herbs, but nobody ever dared to enter it. One day, however, when the wife was standing at the window and looking down into the garden, she noticed a bed of wonderful Rapunzel. She had a great craving to eat some of the lettuce, and yet she knew that she couldn't get any. So she began to waste away and look wretched. Her husband eventually became horrified and asked what was ailing her.
"Oh, if I don't get any of that Rapunzel from the garden behind our house, I shall have to die."
Like the average pregnant woman and like ice cream and pickles, right? Her husband loved her very much and thought,
"No matter what it costs, you're going to get her some Rapunzel, self."
So one evening he quickly climbed over the high wall into the garden, grabbed a handful of Rapunzel and brought the lettuce to his wife. Then she immediately made a salad and ate it with great zest. However, the Rapunzel tasted so good to her, so very good, that her craving for it became three times greater by the next day. Bitches, man. Her husband knew that if she was ever to be satisfied, he had to climb into the garden once more. So he went over the wall into the garden, but was extremely terrified when he stood face to face with the fairy, who angrily berated him for daring to come into the garden and stealing her Rapunzel. He excused himself as best he could by explaining that his wife was a nagging bitch, she was also pregnant, and that it had become too dangerous to deny her the Rapunzel.
"All right," the fairy finally spoke. "I shall permit you to take as much Rapunzel as you like, but only if you give me the child that your wife is carrying."
In his fear, the idiot agreed to everything, and when his wife gave birth, the fairy appeared at once, named the baby girl Rapunzel, and took her away. I'd be fucking pissed. If I was the wife, I'd be like, fuck this shit. We don't need any Rapunzel. Go to the grocery store. Get me some fucking iceberg lettuce. I mean, we all know that's the shittiest lettuce, but I'll take that over carrying this fucking kid for 9 months and then being like, here you go, fairy. Take your goddamn lettuce, baby. That's where Cabbage Patch Kids came from. Whatever. Rapunzel grew to be the most beautiful child under the sun. But when she turned 12, the fairy locked her in a very high tower that had neither doors nor stairs, only a little window high above. Whenever the fairy wanted to enter the tower, she would stand below and call out, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair." Rapunzel had radiant hair, as fine as spun gold. Each time she heard the fairy's voice, she unpinned her braids, I'll say that again. Each time she heard the fairy's voice, she unpinned her braids and wound them around a hook on the window. Then she let her hair drop 20 yards, and the fairy would climb up on it. One day a young prince was riding through the forest and came upon the tower. He looked up and saw beautiful Rapunzel at the window. When he heard her singing with such a sweet voice, he fell completely in love with her. However, since there were no doors in the tower and no ladder could ever reach her high window, he fell into despair. Why can't I fuck that cute girl? Nevertheless, he went into the forest every day until one time he saw the fairy who called out, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair." As a result, he now knew what kind of ladder he needed to climb up into the tower. So he went to Home Depot, and he got the 70-footer. No, I'm making that shit up. He took careful note of the words he had to say, and the next day at dusk, he went to the tower and called out. Apparently she's not going to notice the difference in their voices.
Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair.
So, she let her hair drop. And when her braids were at the bottom of the tower, he tied them around him, and she pulled him up. At first, Rapunzel was terribly afraid, thinking that the fairy had gotten really fat very quickly. But soon the young prince pleased her so much that she agreed to see him every day and pull him up into the tower. Thus, for a while, they had a merry time and enjoyed each other's company, if you know what I mean. The fairy didn't become aware of this until one day Rapunzel began talking and said to her, "Tell me, Mother Gothel, why are my clothes becoming too tight? They don't fit me anymore."
Yeah, they had a good time.
"Oh, you godless child," the fairy replied. "What's this I hear?"
Put her on birth control. And she immediately realized that she had been betrayed and became furious. Then she grabbed Rapunzel's beautiful hair, wrapped it around her left hand a few times, picked up a pair of scissors with her right hand, and snip, snap, the hair was cut off. Afterward, the fairy banished Rapunzel to a desolate land, where she had to live in great misery, because she wouldn't get laid no more. In the course of the time, she gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. On the same day that the fairy had banished Rapunzel, she fastened the braids that she had cut off to the hook on the window, and that evening, when the prince came and called out,
"Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair,"
she let the braids down. But when the prince climbed up into the tower, he was astonished to find the fairy instead of Rapunzel.
"Do you know what, you villain?" the angry fairy said. "Rapunzel is lost to you forever."
In his despair, the prince threw himself from the tower. He escaped with his life, but he lost both eyes. Apparently, he landed on two rocks directly apart from each other on his eyeballs. Like, okay, sure. That would happen. Sadly, he wandered around the forest eating nothing but grass and roots and did nothing but weep. Some years later, he made his way to the desolate land where Rapunzel was leading a wretched existence with her children. When he heard her voice, it sounded familiar at first, and then he immediately recognized it. She recognized him too and embraced him. Two of her tears fell upon his eyes. Then his eyes became clear again, and he could see as usual. The end. There's no happily ever after. I'm just going to assume it's because there would be no happily ever after. Both of those people have some serious issues. I mean, she has been prisoner basically her entire life. She had to give birth alone from the strange man that was banging her. And then he clearly has problems because he tried to kill himself when he found out his girlfriend was gone and apparently managed to fall like 20 yards and lose his eyeballs somehow. And so I don't think there's a happily ever after. They need a lot of therapy. And how are these people wandering around weeping for days and years at a time in the woods? I mean, I'm assuming they're also like drinking water. The guy is a prince. What the fuck is he wandering around weeping? Do you think he would just, like, find, like, band together a party to go find Rapunzel? The guy wasn't that. But then again, I mean, he's the kind of guy who just, like, stalks a tower and climbs a woman's hair to bang her. So I'm expecting too much fairy tale logic, people. It's just, I need to lower the bar. This is not reality. It's fantasy. So that was today's This Wednesday, because it is Wednesday and they're not mowing right now. This Wednesday's edition of Let's Read Fairy Tales. Yeah, I'll do it again next week or something else. I don't know. You're here. You'll listen. Maybe, maybe not. Whatever. It's a thing. Okay. So I love you guys and I will be posting again tomorrow. And then Friday is the next erotic. So stay there for that. All right. I love you guys and I will see you later. Bye.